Okay. We'll pray, and then that is a specific topic that I want to talk about. Then we'll go back to dealing with the angels of Yahweh. I just don't want to deal with this this particular topic here. But let's pray, and then we'll jump back into this. Father Yahweh, we bless you as always, and just give you the praise for who you are. We thank you for just being Yah in our lives. We glorify you for all that you do, all of who you are. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen. There is a situation I want to deal with in order to show you. How to teach this subject matter if it ever arises, simply because there are a lot of people who make claims in reference to this subject matter, and that is that Christ is God. And y'all know we've dealt with this. Quite a bit in different lessons. But I want to just specifically focus on these things. And then at the same time, reveal to you the authority that's been placed upon us as a ministry to rightly divide the word of truth. I want to be careful, but from this perspective, I don't want you to take what I just said and use it as a means to get off track. As far as the truth is concerned. What I realize is that what a lot of people call revelation or revelation of the word of Yah is really nothing but man-made doctrines. It's what Paul warned Timothy, and I'm going to pull up chapter 4. Let me see if it's chapter 4. It might be 2 Timothy here. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 4, where in verse 1 it says, I charge you therefore before Yah and the Lord. Christ is Lord, but in his category. Yah is also Lord. I am Lord, but in my category. Okay? And we have to understand that. Yah is Lord in his category all by himself. Christ is Lord in his category all by himself. And then we are Lord in certain categories. Okay? Categories. And so he says, I charge thee therefore before Yah and the Lord, Yahushua Mashiach, Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Okay. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having engineers, and they shall depart, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned to fables. Well, when you look at this here, a lot of times what people call revelation is revelations based upon fables. Now, when we look at the word fable, the word fable means through the idea of of creation, a tale, fiction, myth. Okay? And as you continue to run it here, it says to initiate, to teach, to instruct. They are myths. They are a myth or fable, but they're, people are teaching this as doctrine. They're teaching this as the words of Yah. Okay? And so when I'm saying that, that we have been commissioned to teach the truth, to unseal the scriptures, I'm not saying that from the thing being revealed to us that's along the lines of these fables. Again, there are a lot of people who have revelations. They say, God has given me these revelations. Nobody's teaching on this kind of stuff. But yet, it is thought, like what, you know, I believe 2 Peter 1:20 said, where it talks about there is no scripture that's of private interpretation. I'll just go there real quick. I'll pull it up too, just so that we can have it. And so when I say that, I'm very careful because I don't want anybody to misunderstand us by making such a bold statement, and that we have been commissioned to teach the truth. We have been commissioned by God to unseal the scriptures. That is the mantle, that is the anointing, that is the gift that is upon us as part of the body. Okay. And 2 Peter 1:20, remember, Elder, you had some things. 2 Peter 1:20 said, knowing this first, and no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation. That private interpretation, we talked about this a lot. It means idioms. It's kind of like where idiot comes from, okay? Idioms is pertaining to self, one's own, by implication, private or separate. In other words, it's private, it's separate from the word. So the revelation we have is based upon revelation that comes from the word. So you know, we make a conscious effort not to discuss things and to teach things that we can't prove in scripture, according to the scriptures. You know, there have been times when we had some ideas about things, but you know, I was like, okay, you know, when we have to look at this, it could be this way, but since we can't back this up in scripture, it's definitely wrong. Okay. And so, with that understanding, we have been commissioned to do this. There are a lot of fables that's out there, but we have been commissioned to teach the truth. Now, there have been numerous people, what I mean by people, Christians, preachers, that have said over and over by looking at certain scriptures that Christ is God. And this is one of the main passages that they go to. We'll start at verse 15. You know, I come from background is, you know, raised up in Church of God in Christ, and 1 Timothy 3:15 was one of the things that we confess quite a bit, you know, in our confession. But if I tarry long, and I've been able to quote this since I was a little old boy, because there was a group of scriptures that they confessed a lot. This is one of the ones. It says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. It is Yah's house. It is the Father Yah's house. So when you see that, you get a lot of people that will say it was because of the next verse. That they see, this is Christ's house. No, it's Yah's house. It's the house of God. That's why the Savior said when... and Elder, you know, help me even find it. We'll look at it. When they were in the temple selling things, and my father's house has eaten me up. If that's a part of it, you know, when they were in the temple selling things, Christ turned over the tables of the money changers and he made a card and were beating people out of the temple and things like that. And he said, "My Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves." It is Yah's house, okay? And I can't stress enough, God is God all by himself. Now, when you look at these scriptures, you will have people, and I say it too, but I say it with a different level of understanding than someone else would say what I'm about to say. You get people that will say, well, the way it's written is exactly the way that it should be understood. And I agree with that. As long as there is no contradiction based upon what is written in a specific passage. Because I know, I understand that scriptures are translated from other languages and different things like that. And the person who translated may have the tendency to influence that scripture based upon what he understands. And what he understands may not be what Yah is really saying. And so by his spirit, he gives us the wisdom to rightly divide the word of truth to be able to interpret when these errors are made and to make corrections not based upon our personal revelation, but precept upon precept, line upon line. Scripture confirming scripture. So when something is said, it has to be confirmed with other scriptures or I cannot teach it. If I find it within the scriptures, the Bible, if it does not confirm other things throughout the scriptures, then I'm not gonna teach those things. It has to be precept upon precept, line upon line, where when I look at something, I have to say, yeah, well, that coincides with what it says over here. Because the scripture links together. It links itself together in order to reveal truth. Thus, verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of Yah. If Yah delays in sending his son, then we need to know how to operate. Okay, but if I tarry long, if I delay, if I be slack, okay, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself. When you look at the behave thyself, to busy oneself, to remain, to live, how the conversation should be. Okay? And as you read, you know, all of this, it starts out saying, the truth saying, if a man desire office of position, he desires a good work. So he starts to give criteria and he sets up order here so that things can be understood on how to operate, how to be busy in the house of Yah, okay, which is the church of the living God. He's not sitting in the corner somewhere. He's not some kind of wall, dwelling wall, or tree, or totem pole. He's none of those things. He's the living Yah.
John 2:16.
Okay, John 2. John 2, verse 16. I'll start at verse 13. It said, the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Yehoshua went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge to the correct, a small cord, he drove them out. He drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. You think it's crazy, man. And said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. This was written here in the Old Testament, that Christ would have this kind of zeal for his Father's house. Okay? Now, as we go back to Timothy now, God indeed is God. He is God alone. Isaiah 45, verse 5, says, I am Yah, and there is none else. There is no God, there is no El, okay? There is no God, there is no Elohim, there is no El beside me. There is no other God that exists. I am the only one, okay? Now, you have to sell that issue so that when we get to Timothy, you understand the error that's made. You will see that the writer is influencing the text based upon his understanding. But yet Yah has raised up his prophet to unseal and reveal the truth and to show the error, even in the scripture. Okay? The translation of the scriptures, not in the scriptures, the translation, I'll say it that way. That's more appropriate. Now, Isaiah 45, verse 5 says, I am Yah, and there is none else. There is no God, there is no Elohim, there is no El beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Yah raised us up for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect. Israel indeed is the elect. He said, I want you to understand, Israel, you understand and you teach all nations that there is no God but me. But when we drop the ball and we sinned as a nation of people, then it opened us up as well as the world up to be taught by heathens who the L of the nation of Israel was not their God. In other words, they picked up a book that belonged to the God that was not there, their God. They taught us from a book that was not intended for them to be the primary teachers. Okay? We were supposed to be the example, according to Exodus chapter 19, the royal priesthood and the holy nation who would teach other nations the ways of Yah. We're gonna do it in the future when we get ourselves together as a nation. So he says to us as a nation, and we were supposed to teach all other nations, that Yah is God alone. There is none else. There is nobody else. There is no other God but one. And that is Yah. That is El. That is the Elohim, the El, the Samuel El, the Ezekiel, so it's important for us to understand that, okay? I am Yah. Jump in, Elder, when you have something. You got something? Go ahead. Read it. You want me to pull it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
1 Corinthians 15. And verse 2. Because based on this scripture, Christ being God doesn't make sense.
Right.
If you
just explain it the way that he needs you to explain it.
I just read it.
Okay, go ahead.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even
the man, right. Adam, okay.
Even so in Christ,
the man,
they shall all be made alive.
Why? Because verse 21. Okay, go ahead.
But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming.
So Christ the man, the first fruits of many brethren. Okay. And then they that are Christ at his coming.
Right.
Okay. Christ the first fruit. He is the first man. He is the first man of many men. Based upon his obedience. Verse 20. And now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit, the first one of men who slept to be risen from the dead. Okay? For since by man came death, by man also came also the resurrection of the dead. Christ is a man. He is a man. He is the Son of Yah. He is not the El of Isaiah 45, verse 5. Go ahead, Elder.
24 says, then comes the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he have put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he shall put all things under his feet. This is referring to Christ.
Right.
But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected. Which he did put all things.
He's accepted.
Oh, sorry. He is accepted. Yeah, accepted. Which put all things under him.
Now, who accepted it?
28 is the...
Okay.
Word.
I'm just jumping out to shoot too fast. Go ahead.
So it says, and when all things...
Read 27 again, because
okay.
I interrupted.
So for he hath put all things under his feet. This is referring to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But when he saith all things are under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. So from that context, if Christ and God were one and the same, why in the context of this scripture then, with Christ, if he is God, according to how they say, then have to submit everything that's under his submission to the Father?
To himself, if he is God. Why do we have to submit to himself if he's God? He's not. He is the Son. He said he was the Son. The scripture confirms that he's the Son. He is Emmanuel, which is interpreted. God with us. It's an interpretation. Yah letting us know, through my Son, I will manifest that I am God who is with you. That's the sign. He told our nation, he said, you want to see a sign? I'm going to show you a sign. You need a sign to know that I walk with you? When I send my Son, it shall be Emmanuel. You shall know that God, your God, is with you when you see Emmanuel. It is interpreted, Yah with you. Not that he is Yah. It is that our nation know that because Emmanuel has come and gathered the people of Yah, then we know our God is with us. Because he has sent his Son, which is interpreted, Manuel, to manifest the fact that God is telling us that he is with us.
Even from that context, anybody who Yah is truly leading, the people that are around them, come to that conclusion. It's like I've experienced it, and it's not even something that's my intention or my desire, but it's something that when Yah deal with you, people will say that very thing. Okay, I know that wasn't you. I know that was God. So from that context, it's the same way with Christ. Okay, he is a representation of Yah, but at the same time, he is not Yah, right? So anybody from that context that allows Yah to use them can make manifest to everybody that's around them that Yah is real.
When you look at our project, when I sit down and thought about it, some things that happened leading up to us owning that property, Yah reminded me of how he did it and it left me at awe. To confirm what you just said, people look at the building, and when they hear the story, they say, Yah is with y'all. The building is a manifestation that Yah is walking with us as a ministry. So much so that the deed that we have, the letter that I have that came from San Antonio, the corporate main headquarters at the time, before they moved the headquarters there to Dallas, the person whose name is on all that paperwork, they do not know who that person is. I had a lady who was very much connected as an employee to different channels, and she said, everyone is asking who is that individual that signed off on all your documents. Nobody knows who that individual is. The document is legitimate. The document is legal. The property is yours, but yet nobody can identify who that person is to this day. Because that person is the angel of the Lord who became chief in charge for that specific signing to the point to where nobody knows who that individual is, at least at this point. Thus, to confirm even more that Yah is so much with us that they don't know who gave it to us, and they the ones who gave it to us and stood there and took pictures with us, making it public knowledge that it was given to us by them, yet they don't know who did it up in the upper portions of that company. But it is the manifestation to let us know that Yah is with us. Okay. Yah has been Emmanuel, which is interpreted. We know that speaks of Christ, but at the same time, Yah is with us. That's what it means. It is interpreted as that. Not saying that Christ is God. It is Him being with us, walking as the Son to the letter of the written word. It is evident, and when He returns, it will be even more evidence that Yah is with us, Emmanuel. Okay. Yeah, anything else you want to see? Okay, that was a good passage. Now, with those understanding, Isaiah 45, verse 5 and 6 says, I am Yah, and there is none else. That's what the Israelites know. That's what our ancestors knew. No one could tell them. It would not have even been a debate if someone else had showed up and said, well, you know that the Son is God or that the Holy Spirit is God. They would have looked at them and said, get out of my way. Get away from me, you heathen. You don't know what you're talking about. This is our God. This is the God of the Hebrews. He is only one. We saw one at Mount Sinai. We saw one that Moses went up into the mountain to talk to. We saw one in all of our encounters that we recognize as God. There is no other. Okay? Thus he said in Isaiah 45:5-6, I am Yah and there is none else. There is no God beside me, beside him, underneath him. There is no other God. There is a Son that's standing in his right hand, and but there is only one who sits on the throne. Read all the scriptures. It never said Christ per se is seated until he gets to the point to where he just, you know, it happens what Elder just read, that, you know, he will now make all things be under his footstool, and he will then be at the right hand of Yah, submit his, you know, all of the authority and everything over so that Yah can be all in all. Verse 6 says, that they may know from the rising of the sun when it comes up, and from the rising of the sun and from the west, that there is none besides me. I am Yah, and there is none else. Period. End of story. And if you notice, verse 6 proves that, you know, the sun don't go down. It just appears to be rising because it's always on the move. So go down is the Babylonian concept that makes us think it's a sphere or around, and the sun goes down because it's down at the bottom or circling around the earth itself per se. It doesn't move like that. That's why we always see it from a perspective of rising. But, you know, that's why it says that that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west. So it's this that go down, because it lets you know how it travels. From the rising of the sun, it travels west. East, west. From the rising east to the west. They know from the rising of the sun and from the west. When you see it rise from the east, and you see it go, what we think is down from the west, the scripture doesn't tell you it's going down, it says it's going west. Okay. He says that there is none beside me. I am Yah, and there is none else. There is none else. So when we get to 1 Timothy 3, we should understand these things. And when we get to verse 15 says, But if I tarry long, if thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of Yah, who is he? He's one. He is the Father of our Savior. Our Savior is Lord in his category. He is the first fruit. So, yes, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first begotten of many brethren, and he's the last sacrifice. I don't have to kill no bull out for my righteousness. I don't have to kill no goat, no sheep, and all that. Christ has paid the ultimate price and sacrifice, and I ain't got to kill nothing else for my sin. He is the last sacrifice. Okay? Then he goes on and says here, which is the church of the living Yah, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What is the subject matter? Godliness. Why? There's a colon. So what we're about to read is what reveals the mystery of godliness. And without controversy, let's look at the word controversy. Controversy here is confessedly without controversy. Let's run it continually. to assent, covenant, acknowledge, confession is made, give thanks. Okay. Without controversy. Without controversy. So, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So there's no controversy when it comes down to godliness, because the scripture tells us why. So there's no confusion about it. We want to understand what godliness is. There is no controversy about this mystery. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. This is a mystery to those who don't get it. This is a mystery to those who think that Christ is God. But those who know the truth, those who have been born to unseal the truth, this mystery has been revealed. Now, verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, person will look at that and that there will see that proof right there, that God was manifested in the flesh. Thus, John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. They said it was manifested in the flesh. Because verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So it says, since the Word became flesh, then the Word of pure being God, that proves that Christ is God. In verse 16, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, prove that fact. That fact. That's what people who don't understand the scriptures will say. But when you break that down instead of clumping it all together, it becomes to the truth of verse 16. So let's do that. Now, and without controversy, grace is the mystery of godliness. What is godliness now? What is godliness? godliness and piety. The gospel theme, holiness. In other words, in order for us to understand this mystery of godliness, this mystery of the gospel, we have to understand a concept. Well, reverent, devout, godly. There's a mystery to this godliness. What is the mystery that's revealed in the scripture? Okay? Now, it says God was manifested in the flesh. Is this true? No, it's not. Why? When you look at John chapter 1, John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, where is in the beginning found? Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, was the Word. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. How did he do it? And he said words. In the beginning was what he said. In the beginning was his words, and the Word was with God, because they were his words, and the Word was God. When God said it, it became what he said. Therefore, his word is equal with him, like my word is equal with me. If I say something, then my word is equal with what I am and who I am. John said it. He said he's going to do it. So when you look at in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, you have to go to Genesis chapter 1 to understand what that means. It is based on Yah saying, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. How was it made? And God said, verse 3, and God said, verse 6, and God said, verse 9, and God said, verse 11, thus, all things were made by him. How was it made? With his words. Christ ain't thought about it now. We ain't even got Christ. So don't jump down to verse 14 yet, because we ain't there. It is talking about who is the source of all things. There is none else. It is him all alone, all by himself, with his own words, and he spoke them, and it became everything that he spoke. All things were made by him. Who? God. In the beginning, God created. All things were made by who? The God who created this. The El. The God is not El beside me was there. All things were made by him. Who? God. And without him, God, was not anything made that was made. Then as you continue on, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that men through him, witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, John wasn't, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That's why he says, I am the light of the world, or we are the light of the world. And when he talks about the light and the water and the things like that, it's in reference to Christ. But at the same time, God is the source. Okay? That was the true light. You had something? Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. This is the influence of the scripture. You're looking at someone who is taking the scripture and trying to twist it to make you believe that Christ is God.
I do have a comment.
Go ahead.
From verse, from Timothy, verse Timothy 3.
Okay.
16.
Okay.
If this were God and not Christ, why would God need to be justified in the spirit?
Light was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from Yah, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Through the light that Yah sent, Emmanuel, Yah being with us. He was not the light, John wasn't the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. That's where it gets cloudy. He was in the world, but the world was made by his Father. But the world knew not the Son. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So when you look at these verses, you have to really start breaking them down, because it's revealing the Son and the Father in and out of these verses. When you believe in the Son, the power comes from the Father. Because the power is the Spirit. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Verse 11 is Christ. But as many as received him, to them God yet gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of Yah. They're born of Yah. Why not? They not born of the Son? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Christ is a man. It was not his will. That's why he made the statement, he said, I do nothing of myself. The other point out of 1 Corinthians 15, that by the first man, Adam, sin came on all, but by the second man, Christ, then the resurrection came upon all. So I'm just giving you different examples to start to see how, when it starts to get cloudy, then you have to make the conscious decision and say, wait a minute, some of this is talking about Yah, the Father, and some of this is talking about the Son, and I need to just sit down and dissect this to make sure I understand which one it's talking about. So I'm just giving you an example of how you do this without really just going into detail and just dissecting this, thing. Just to make sure, okay? In him was a life, and I just give you an example of ways that this could be done, okay? Let me just do this. You have something else? Go ahead. Now, go ahead. Okay. In him was a life, and the life was the light of man. You see other scriptures. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. So when you see and you run reference of this, it's still talking about the Father here. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended in night. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation. The light is coming to the world. So when you see the Father gives life, who he gives life to? The Son. The Son now gives life. Who the Son gives life to? Us. Therefore, we are the light of the world. The light comes from the Father. The Father is the source. The source comes down to the Son. And the Son, through being obedient to the Father, has now redeemed us. And we are now the light of the world. So just showing you the process by which you see these things, where it keeps it from being cloudy. You're able to understand as we look at the scriptures and stay within the context or meaning and allow the scriptures to interpret themselves. All things were made by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and life was given to Christ. Christ now gives the life to us. Christ said, I can do nothing of myself. So anything you read about him, it was given him to give. That's why when you look at translating, you have something?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I want to read Mark chapter 14.
Mark 14, let me pull it up.
Okay.
Okay. Top left.
Verse 36.
Verse 36. Mark 14, verse.
Right.
Okay.
And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So basically, in a nutshell, they were the same, and this is something that he wanted. If Christ was God, and in this moment, Christ is saying, okay, I don't want to endure this, but nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. If Christ was God, then why is this conversation happening?
You will get the Christian answer. The religious answer would say he was just being obedient unto them.
Why would he have that conversation?
Why would he have the conversation? Why would he just be obedient?
Yeah, God.
Why would he have to have a conversation with himself in order to obey himself? You see how this stuff starts to look when you snatch the tongue off?
Yes.
So when you go back now and you start to read these things, you see it here. You let the scriptures interpret. All things were made by him. Yah is the one who made all things. What's our proof? This is his one. So in him was life. The life thought was the source. Yah. Yah gives the life to his son. The son gives the life to mankind. Thus, Adam died, and Christ, through his obedience, called all men to live. He gave his life to cause men to live because the Father sent him to give his life. He sent him to be the light, and therefore he gave what he was given. It has to be understood. That's how you dissect that's how you do it to keep from being deceived and start to call the Savior God and then wonder why Yah is not moving in our lives. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You got anything else? Okay, now look. And I'm going to leave these up here just as the reference now. In him was life. Who did life start from? The Father. Who did he give the life to? The Son. Who does the Son give life through his obedience? Us. That's why he told his disciples, ye are the light of the world. A city that cannot be hid. Was that Matthew 5? Matthew 5. Let's just go there and look at it right quick.
Like it's Matthew 5.
Yes. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify who? Christ. No, the Father, which is in heaven. Christ is giving these instructions. He said, I am the light. I let my light shine. You as my disciples, you let your light shine. Why? So that men may see that light and glorify your Father. Your Father just like he my Father. That's what Christ was saying.
It's very interesting. If it was him, he would say that he may glorify me.
Exactly.
I mean, because from the context of how people do and they treat them interchangeably, Christ never makes that interchangeable beat.
Never. He never makes it. That is a false doctrine that's been leading people astray. So when you look at this, in him was the light. Who does the light come from? You start with your Father. Go ahead, LGBT.
I mean, even if y'all wanted them to be treated the same, then he would have had them word those things such that they would be interchangeable.
Exactly.
If that were the case, you know.
Exactly.
But since Yah is not Christ, he made Christ make that clear distinction in everything that he does, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it didn't matter, then he wouldn't make those distinctions.
Mm-hmm.
If it didn't matter, he would allow them to say unto me. If it didn't matter, you would see those things in Scripture. But apparently it does.
They're not in Scripture. It's just man-made doctrines to try to influence it. John 5, verse 26, a reference to John 1, verse 4. which says, in him was the life. You see John 5, verse 26, it says, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. He is the source. Look at verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness. Who does the light come from? The Father who gave it to the Son. Now the Son is able to display it. And the darkness comprehended it not. John 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Thus, when Christ came as Emmanuel to prove that God was with man, as a sign, they rejected it. Verse 6, there was a man sent from Yah, whose name was John. Malachi 3:1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts, saith Yah himself. John was a witness. You see, in Matthew 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He was preaching Christ. Verse 7. The same came for a witness, John, to bear witness of the light, Christ, who got the light from his Father, that all men through him might believe. Acts 19, verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus, Yahushua, Mashiach. Verse 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light. Christ is the true light because he got the light from his Father, the true light. Thus, when we become the light of the world for following Christ, then we become the true light because it goes up to the Father, the source, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. Who was in the world? John 1, and all things were made by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. So when you look at who Christ represented, you now can say the sign was in the world. He was in the world. What was in the world? Christ being the light that came from the Father, that was sent by the Father, that was spoken by the Father. Isaiah 49, verse 6. And he said, is it a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribe of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel? I will also give for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. This is talking about Christ. When you look at it, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, you have to bring it up to the Father. The Father is the source. Christ was in the world was made by the Father, and the world knew not Christ. This is the proper translation. Okay? And the world knew him not. Hebrews 1 and 2 said, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Not the Father. Yah spoke to us by his Son. His Son was a sign. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed. Who appointed him? The Father, who has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Who made the world? The Father. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Luke 19 and 14. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. They won't cry. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of Yah, even to them that believe on his name. Isaiah 56:5. Move up. Isaiah 56:5. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and within my walls a place and a name better than the son, better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Okay? Who is it talking about? But as many as received them, this is something like this. Isaiah 56 and 5 confirms it. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within the wall a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name and that they shall not be cut off. Well, when you look at all the passages, you know he said Christ to the Gentiles too, to redeem them. We read that a little bit earlier. But that's why the scripture says salvation is to the Jew first, then the Greek. Because there's a range. Everybody can come to the cross, so to speak. But once you come to the cross, you have to understand that there is an elect that belongs to Yah. That is the nation of Israel. Okay? Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yah. Christ was born by the will of his Father, Yah. John 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Yah." James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God did that. Who is his creatures? God's creature, his creation, his creature are mankind. Okay? When you see this now, then it says this, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Isaiah 40, verse 50 is another example. And the glory of Yah shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it all together, for the mouth of Yah hath spoken it. Yah spoke the Son into existence, the same way he spoke the world into existence. Christ was spoken into existence by his Father. Okay? Now, the exit out of this. So now when you go back and look at 1 Timothy 3 as we get ready to close, you understand how to read the scripture now. And without controversy, grace is the mystery of godliness. Christ was manifest in the flesh. The Son of Yah was manifest in the flesh. Yehoshua, Jesus, he was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. We just read John 1 and 14 to prove that he was manifest in the flesh. Now let's let the scripture prove that he was justified in the spirit. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 16, and Yehoshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of Yah descending like a dove. Spirit is on the earth. The Spirit of Yah comes from Yah in heaven. Always have. You read all the scriptures, all of them show that it's the writing in some type of mighty rushing wind, or it is something that has to do with the breath of Yah. So the Spirit confirms Christ to bear witness to manifested in the flesh, John 1 and 14. Justified in the Spirit, he's justified right here. And Jesus, Yehoshua, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of Yah descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Thus he has now been justified by the Spirit." Justified in the Spirit. Seen of angels. Let's look at this here. I'm gonna be lazy. Okay. I'm gonna be lazy. I'm naive. I'm just doing cross references instead of getting the elders to find it for me. Look at all of this here. Now, scene of angels. Let me see. John 1. Nope. Yeah. The one was great. Matthew 28, verse 2, saying, behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of Yah descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set up on it. That's not the one that I want. I want the one where he was in the manger and the angels appeared when he was in the manger. So that's what I want to use to confirm that he was seen of angels. I think it'll be in Matthew somewhere, 1 or 2. Maybe 3, or it may be in Luke. When you find it, just give it to me. So it's in one of the Gospels, maybe Luke. Again, verse 16 saying, without controversy, great is the mystery of Christ, the Son of Yah, he was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit. You saw the spirit descend down upon him. Yah is my beloved Son, seen of angels, elders, finding that forth. Preached unto the Gentiles. When you see one example of this is Acts chapter 10. There was a certain man of Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was a Gentile, a devout man, and one that feared Yah with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to Yah always. And he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of Yah coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked, he was afraid. Said, what is it, Lord? As you continue to read on, it says, a memorial has come up. Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial. As you see this goes on, Peter preaches to the Gentiles. Christ was preached to the Gentiles. Okay? Peter goes down with the men. Cornelius telling what happened. I'm just paraphrasing as you. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that Yah is no respect of person. But in every nation, Gentile, as well as Jew, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Thus the gospel of Christ was preached to the Gentiles. What's my proof? The word which Yah sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Christ Jesus, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John, how Yah anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for Yah was with him. The same Christ was preached to the Gentiles, thus confirming that it was preached to the Gentiles. Believed on in the world, received up in the glory. We know that Christ, after his resurrection, he was received up in the heaven. Did you find that one? Okay. Let me see here. And then we'll close. Did you type in manger? Luke 2. Yeah, here's verse 8 and 9. Luke 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of Yah came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto him, well, this is Yah.
I was just saying, this is Yah.
And the angel said, said unto him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign, there you go, a sign unto you. You shall find it, the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising Yah and singing, glory to Yah in the highest on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels, there you go, as the angels will go away from them into heaven, I believe that says angels, but I believe it's one. I will have to look at other translations or other references. Let me just make sure. We know that Yah was, we know that Yah was with them. Then we'll close. I just want to show you. Okay, it doesn't give it, so it says as the angel, so here's what I'm going to do. It may be an influence. It shouldn't be, maybe should be plural. Verse 15 says, and angels, it says, it says messenger, so let's go back up to angel of Yah. What verse was? Angel, that was one. See how they mess up the scripture? This is Yah, but when you get down here, they say it was one. It was still one. And it came to pass as the angel was gone away from them into heaven. Yah came down, Yah went back. The angel of Yah. You see it in verse 7? Verse 7.
Were the hosts of heaven there?
Yeah, the hosts of heaven did sing. But look what it says here. It says that suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praying. Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Maybe that's why.
That's the angel. So you had Yah himself. And look what it says now. They call him a heavenly host. So let's look at the word heavenly host. So that's why it says angels there. Heavenly host. Heavenly host, it says count likeness and army, the angels. Okay? So that heavenly host is the translation that should have been angels to confirm this angel down here. Okay? So the angels came down with Yah himself to give the news. Yah gets talking as the angel of the Lord. Okay? And so as you see here, the angels often travel with Yah when you see, even with, our father Abraham was standing in the tent door, and they was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So again, you see these things. I'm getting ready to close here. So again, let me go back to 1 Timothy, and where we can close out. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. So we read the scripture. God was manifest in the flesh, John 1, 14. Justified in the spirit, Matthew chapter 3. Seen of angels. What was that? Luke chapter 2. Preached unto the Gentiles, Acts chapter 10. Believed on in the world. You can also use that, Acts chapter 10. Received up in glory. We're going to run the scriptures of reference on that, but we know that Christ was taken up into heaven. And the angels thus said, why you standing here gazing? Okay? So we now know that this should not have been God. It should have been Christ, the Son of God. He referring to Christ, it should not have been God here. That's how we write divide the truth and keep from being deceived by people who were not meant to be the primary teachers of the gospel. word was brought to the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel was supposed to take the reins and lead and teach all nations the truth. That's why he raised up his sons, the sons of Israel, and revealing to us the truth so that we can teach to mankind. Okay? Any questions, comments? Good? All right. I'm going to close. Father, y'all, we bless your name, and we just thank you for this wonderful opportunity to get in your word. We thank you for your spirit. You breathe on us to unseal the truth, and we just bless you for these things. And we count it a great honor and a great privilege to be enlightened by you. And we glorify you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen.